Now, for average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with JP Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
Pete's one of the great sports writers right now. I'll say that. As far as knowledge and understanding the game, watching tape, he's, even though he's wrong sometimes, I disagree with his opinions, at least they're educated opinions.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's JP Shadrick.
Jaguars Monday. Are you? What's going on, JP? Are you?
Well,
come on, JP. Spit it out. First of all, let me take over for a second. It's Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, and Joe Fortunato is on the board.
Only have one ear for some reason.
I'm not happy with the open that we just did of me saying nice things about.
That was the greatest open we've ever had.
I'm not happy about that.
By far and away, the best open. By far and away, the best open we've ever had. It's not even close.
Yeah, I would disagree. Sorry, guys.
Why?
You
said it.
You know what? It was so bad that JP couldn't even get the words out to start the show.
Play that again, Joe. We want to hear that
again. We're not playing that again.
That was something.
That was by far and away
we're
the
not
best
playing that
open
again.
We've ever had.
Wow. We're off and running.
I'm just the shock of it all is that you said my name right. That's the shock of it. What was it, JP? JP Shadwick?
That was a joke.
That's what he said. No,
that
was purposeful. It was not a joke.
Yes, it was. No, I know your name.
Wasn't that funny?
I thought it was funny. It got you all riled up.
I think you said it that way initially, and then you tried to make it a joke.
No, it was a joke. Okay.
You know what's not a joke? This Jaguars defense. The Jags are 7-3 right now, first place in the AFC South by a game. Dominant defensive effort yesterday, again, over a Cleveland Browns offense.
They're awful.
It's the Cleveland Browns, of course.
They're awful.
But they did what they had to do up there. The offense, we got to figure out a way to get some more consistency. We'll try to talk through that tonight. Your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL1. We'll get the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Well, the PFF grades and all that coming up.
Some of your tweets were very good today about the stats, comparing it to the Seahawks Super Bowl year, comparing the defense, but not just the defense, but the offensive production as well.
Yeah, basically they're giving up 14.1 points per game, and the Seahawks in 2013 with the dominant defense that they had gave up 14.4 per game. But I went back and looked at more, because you sit here and say the offense isn't good enough. Well, as bad as the passing game has been here, it's only a yard different than what the Seahawks were that year. So, you know, for all the – now, Russell Wilson threw 27 touchdown passes, and Blake's probably on pace to throw 17 or 18, so there's a little bit different there, but – it's not as different as you think it is. And so from that standpoint, I just said, you know what? Hey, and this team is sacking the quarterback more than that team did. I mean, this team is on pace to tie, the 85 Bears, which is another thing I threw out. The 85 Bears had 64 sacks in a 16-game season, and Jacksonville's on pace for 64 sacks in a 16-game season.
No, it's unreal. And not only do they sack the quarterback and are stingy on giving up points and yards, they score points themselves. I mean, that's 5 defensive touchdowns this year, 7 non-offensive touchdowns if you include the 2 special teams touchdowns. And we talked about at the beginning of the year, the formula for victory was run the ball, don't turn it over offensively, and score, play great defense and score on special teams. Well, they've added a wrinkle to that. They score on defense as well. And, Pete, I got a question for you. So the all-time – really, the 2 best defenses, arguably, or everyone says in the history of this game, were the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens.
Well, you got to count one of the Steelers teams because they actually had like 6 shutouts. Or I forget what the number was, 76.
Different
era, though.
Different era. So, but here's the question. Let's just look at the Ravens defense because that's similar eras, at least, in the 2000s. How many points per game did they give up? It was like 12 and change or something like that?
Yeah, I think, and I can look that up right now. But they also they only gave up 66 yards rushing a game, though, Tony.
Okay, but here's my point. Could you argue that if the Jaguars continue this pace and give up, let's say, 14 points a game, where that's what they're doing right now, that this is a better defense than that Ravens defense because the rules of football favor the offense more than ever. And that was not the case back in 2000s. You could still hammer receivers across the middle. You could the contact outside, the bump and run, you could get way more physical receivers as a corner. There was no targeting. There was nothing like that. You could the quarterback was less protected. I mean, there were so many differences that it was harder to play offense against that Ravens defense than what it is for the Jaguars defense right now, where the rules of football benefit the offense. I mean, you could argue if they continue doing this, could it be the best defense ever?
Well, I mean, they only gave up 165 points, so they averaged 10 points a game, a little over 10, Tony.
Okay, so it's a long way to go.
And you guys got 30-something.
Yeah, we got 36
them, right?
of them against them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the amazing. Think about that. Take 165 minus the 36 and then divide that by 15 and see what they did the rest of the year.
Yeah, I probably got ahead of myself a little bit.
No, okay, not only that, though, the rushing numbers are what – I mean, the rushing
You could not run the ball against them. I remember that.
You know what their yards per carry number was that year against?
No.
2.7.
Yeah, you couldn't run it. I mean, I remember it. Now, we threw it all over against them. I mean, they made the mistake of deciding they were going to play single high coverage against Jimmy Smith, and that was a mistake they never made again. And we could protect the passer good enough to allow Mark to throw it down the field. It is a really good defense, though. I mean, you look at what they do and the way they play, and the run defense ever since the Darius trade is they're only giving up like 2.5 yards a carry or 2.3 or something ridiculous ever since Darius got here. Now, the caveat is this. The record is so favorable for this Jaguar team. I mean, how many teams have they played with a winning record this year? The Steelers? Who else? Yeah, I think that's it.
About it.
The Rams.
And the Rams. And they're 1-1 in those two games.
Well, the Ravens are 5-5.
Yeah, but it's not a winning record.
But if the playoffs started today, the Ravens would be the sixth seed, so there's three playoff teams.
Pete, the Ravens, the Titans are another team with a winning record, but they lost.
Right,
to
so
them.
There's four.
But they lost to the Ravens. They lost to the
Titans
and
the Rams.
And the Rams. So
and the Rams, right.
My point of saying is the schedule has set up nicely, but with all that, this defense is so fun to watch, and they're so fast, and they're so physical, and the way they play is just suffocating to opposing offenses, and they're really good, and they're doing it despite right now an offense that's just struggling to score points. They scored 13 points, the Jaguars offense did. 10 of it was set up off of turnovers. The defense gave short fields. They're not scoring a lot of points the last 3 weeks. They're struggling to get the ball in the end zone, but when you have a defense like this, you can play conservative. Run the ball.
That's what they did yesterday. Yeah.
You know, get a lead and then let the defense take over.
It is an impressive unit because they're, you know, with Darius in there now, they're big and tough in the middle. They got the edge rushers. I mean, Ngakoue is a pure speed edge rusher. Fowler's getting much better. Calais can do what he does. And then the linebackers can all run. Those guys can fly to the football. It's more like Seattle's defense back in the day, to me. You know, with linebackers who can cover a lot of ground, play a lot of cover three, match up corners who can run. I mean, there's no Earl Thomas, obviously, but that's kind of what they more reminded me of.
The second corner is better than their corner.
Second
corner. A.J. Boye is better than anyone the Seahawks have ever lined up on the other side of Richard Sherman. It's a lot of fun to watch. The nickel corner's playing really
well.
Aaron Colvin is playing at a high level. I mean, this will be his last year as a Jaguar, but it's a lot of fun watching him when he's here. I mean, because the guy's going to get paid big time.
I saw a stat today. What, 10 of the 11 players on defense right now are here through the 2019 season, possibly?
Well, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, and let's not ruin, you know, the fun we're having right now. But that year when Jalen Ramsey and Ngakoue, Fowler all come up, which is a couple years from now. I mean, you're going to have some decisions to make of how you pay and who you pay. Miles Jack, I mean, he's in that group as well. I mean, if you look at Pro Bowl players right now or potential Pro Bowl players playing at that level, you have Ramsey Ngakoue, Miles Talbot. Jack. But Talbot's already paid. Smith. He's already paid.
No, I'm saying this year he's playing at a pro.
I'm saying the guys who are playing at a pro bowl play
down the road.
But those guys are all from the same draft class.
No.
Yes.
Oh yeah, they are. That's right.
They're all Ngakoue's the same, right? It goes It's Ngakoue,
yeah.
Ramsey, Jack.
Yeah, but Ramsey has the extra year.
I understand that, but Pete, talk about a draft class. Your first, second, and third pick of that draft in their second year probably all are going to either contend to make the Pro Bowl or make it. You could argue that they're all deserve to be there.
It'd be amazing to find out how good Miles Jack could be if they actually played him last year.
Well, he's playing just fine right now, Pete.
I know. He's good. I mean,
he's really
better
good.
And better. But, I mean, look, that's something to worry about down the road.
No, I know, but it's just interesting as you start looking.
I know.
Those are good problems to have.
I sent that tweet out today, too, that of the guys that play more than 50% of the snaps on this team, the only guy who's over 30 years old on defense is Calais Campbell. He's the only one.
They're young.
Because Posluszny doesn't play 50% of the snaps.
They're young, and they're good. The only thing that'll break it up is sooner or later, everyone's going to want to get paid a lot of money. And they deserve it.
But you got a couple. You got a couple years.
No, you do. You have a couple years, and you got to get creative of how you do it. And
can we just get to the playoffs once first before we start?
No, I mean,
Tony put him in the Super Bowl already. What are you talking about?
Already, we're already there. I mean, we've already booked rooms in
Minneapolis. He's already sizing his ring out earlier today, Pete. I don't know.
No, I'm not. Yeah. That's not true. Yeah. That's not true, Pete. And we don't have to do it right now. Let's talk about we always do power rankings of the AFC South. Mm-hmm. Let's do power rankings of the AFC and where this Jaguar team ranks.
We'll do that a little later tonight.
Because I'll tell you
that's good.
I got him at 2.
Well, don't ruin the surprise. What are you talking about?
Just ruin the surprise. Well, he's got him in the Super Bowl, so they got to be at 2.
I understand that, but we're going to hear what Pete has to say.
He has no radio teases.
No, the tease is for you. And then because Pete's going to give us an AFC South number, where they rank, power ranking. I'm also going to give you where I think they rank in the NFL.
I'm going to give them the NFL, too.
And I'm going to do it based on not just their record, but how they would match up against those top 10 power ranking teams. Where do you have them ranked? Where did you have them ranked last week, Pete, in your power rankings?
Well, I got the new ones coming out tomorrow. Let's put it this way. They'll be up a couple spots, and they're in the top 10.
Where were they last week?
I think they were 9 last week. They're going to be 8.
Wow, I like it.
I think that's too low.
Let's come back and
okay. Which of these teams are they better than? You got them ahead of Pittsburgh because you beat them, right?
That's right.
You think they should be ahead? They got a better record.
Better than Pittsburgh. They dominate them out.
And you know what? If Tony Boselli was put on the chopping block today and had to pick a winner between Pittsburgh and Jacksonville in a neutral field, you pick the Steelers.
No, I wouldn't. Jaguars.
Saints, Vikings. Rams, Panthers.
Panthers want nothing to do with us. Nothing.
Oh my God! You're caught up in.
I got Jag fever, baby.
Get the out. Start playing that video. But you know what? The best thing about it is Jaguar fans in that town, they can go to their Thanksgiving dinner for the first time in how many years and actually have a team in first place in the division.
1999.
Think about that.
Yep. We'll come back and delve into the offense a bit. What can they do to get something more consistently going? Maybe get them out of the training room. That might have something to do with it. A lot of injury issues on the offensive side of the football. Jags win 19-7 over the Browns yesterday. Your call's coming up in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I mean, he said he felt good, you know, and people were asking me during the week, and, you know, we were resting him, you know, trying to do the right thing, you know, whether we put him out in practice and maybe push him a little bit or just say, hey, listen, let's just rest this and get you ready to play. You know, we rested him, and then I asked him how he felt. He says, I'm good, I'm ready to play, and, you know, I trust him. That's all I needed to hear. And, you know, I asked him again last night, you know, we good, we're fine. I said, all right, I'll see you at the stadium.
Doug Marrone in the postgame yesterday discussing Leonard Fournette's status for the football game in Cleveland. Jags win at 19-7. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, your calls in the second hour. The run game got going, 2,811 yards. for Leonard Fournette, a four-yard per carry average yesterday. As a group, 139 on the ground on 44 carries for this Jaguars football team. They didn't have – they had a couple of longer runs. The 29-yarder, I think if Fournette's totally healthy, he might break the corner there and go all the way. But they did enough yesterday to move the ball a little bit, change some field position, and they got a touchdown out of it early in the game.
Yeah.
I guess, right? I mean, what do you think?
Well, the turnover came is what set him up for that first touchdown, mm-hmm. the great interception by Telvin Smith. It does concern me a little bit that Leonard Fournette isn't healthy and doesn't feel like he's going to be probably healthy for the – I mean, 100% for the rest of the year. Now, the reality is very few players are 100% this time of the year. And if he can give the effort he did yesterday, that's fine. But you don't like when your most productive offensive player is, the sense you get listening to Doug, at least, is almost week to week of how he's going to feel. So it's going to be something interesting to watch. They ran the ball well, but offensively still, he scored 13 points. 10 of it was set up by turnovers, short fields, against a bad Cleveland team. And they haven't scored. They didn't score against San Diego very much. They didn't score against Cincinnati for the most part. They had special teams that helped them there. They got to get some more production. And it's the passing game right now, part of it's because of the injuries at wide receiver. You know, D.D. Westbrook flashed a little bit yesterday. The quarterback has to make better decisions. Line has to protect a little bit better. I thought protection was better yesterday. For the most part. But this team's not going to score a lot of points offensively. That's not who they are. That's not how they call the game. They call the game knowing they have the best defense in football.
Can they get away with it, Pete, the rest of the year like this? And into the postseason?
Pete, are you with us? Or did you leave? I think Pete left us. There you go.
No, I'm here.
Okay, well, answer the question.
I did answer the question.
You can't handle the truth.
I said... No, you can't do it that way consistently and win in the play. I mean, you might win a game or two. You're not going to win at all playing that way. But the other
thing
is,
wait a second. You just told us that Seattle won the whole thing doing this.
They had a better quarterback.
Okay.
He threw 27 touchdown passes. You see Blake throwing 15 more the rest of the way?
If I had to bet, no.
Okay. Well, there you go. Here's the other thing. What'd you say the rushing numbers were again yesterday?
44 for 139.
That's correct.
That's not good enough. That's not good enough. That's not 4 yards a carry.
That's a lot of carries.
That's not good enough.
That's a lot of carries.
3.2.
Not only that, it's a lot of carries, but that's not winning football. If you average 3.2 per rush, you're not winning. That's not winning football. Now, asterisk, two offensive linemen out, get it. I understand that. But you got to be – if you're going to be a running team –
But stop there for a second, Pete. What? After watching the tape, I think Chris Reed was the best offensive lineman production-wise or play-wise on the field.
The whole line.
He played a really good football
really?
Game. Him and Linder. I'd go him, Linder, Cam. Coin flip between Wells and Cam Robinson. Cam did not have a great game again.
But Tony, you would agree with me. If they're going to be a running team, it's got to be more than their
No, I'm just saying I wouldn't put it all in the offensive line injury-wise. I mean, I thought – now, I think finally people are seeing, and I've been saying it for a year now because he started playing well the second half of last year, Jeremy Parnell is a good right tackle. And not having him matters. And he was playing really good football before he got hurt. So without him out there, that hurt. I mean, it hurts his team.
Yeah, for a power running football team to not have the right tackle in there is a bad thing.
That's not a good thing. And Josh Wells is doing fine. He's a backup, and you want your starters in there. And that has proven that Jeremy Parnell is a key component. And as a group, they played better yesterday than they did the week before. But you got to keep on improving. And a couple things. I mean, ever since that ankle injury with Cam, I don't know how he's feeling. There's just certain things that I think technique-wise are getting a little bit sloppy. He's got to clean up.
By the way, Cam Robinson was mic'd up yesterday. It's available on Jaguars.com right now. Pretty cool watch there on the team website.
He's a fabulous young player. Yeah. Just It was there's a couple he'd like back.
Receiving, Lee, 5 for 45 on 9 targets yesterday. Westbrook's NFL debut, 6 targets, 3 catches, 35 yards, another that was
only
taken away.
Only 165 yards away from the 200.
That's all.
Guaranteed.
That's all, huh? Keelan Cole, 3 for 24. Lewis had a couple of catches and a touchdown yesterday. So they've got to figure something out in this pass-catching group as well down the stretch, because if they're not going to be able to run the ball effectively, Pete, 3.2 a carry, they're going to have to throw at some point, right?
Well, the good news is in their eyes, Blake Bortles didn't turn the ball over, right? Didn't throw an interception.
I mean, right? But Pete, it's hard to argue at 7-3 if you're going to play defense the way they do.
But at some point, you got to be more aggressive, Tony. At some point, you know.
Well,
that.
Yesterday was not the day to make that argument. It was terrible.
No,
weather.
Because
it was
of the
windy.
Weather.
I mean, it was
how
awful.
Cold was it by the, how cold was it by the way?
The temperature itself was probably in the mid-30s, and then it got under. It went below freezing, obviously. The snow started coming. But that what made it really, really frigid was the wind. It was whipping. I mean, you had gusts up to 40 miles an hour, and it got really cold.
But it wasn't cold like when you played New England in the,
no,
in the
no,
championship
no.
game.
The temperature was not. The wind made it much right. worse than right. the actual temperature.
But, you know, here's the other thing about the passing game. At times, guys got to catch the football, too. I mean, Marquise Lee needed to catch that ball down the sideline.
He should have caught it, but, Pete, his right arm was being pinned to his side.
I get it. The guy grabbed him.
He needs to – but if you want to be a good receiver, you fight through that and get your arms up. You figure out a way to get
that.
That was a very well-thrown ball.
That was a hell of a throw.
Great
throw. There was another long throw that he made that was a nice throw.
Yeah, D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah.
Who caught it.
I mean, he made a couple nice throws. They got to take those chances, Tony. I know sometimes why they don't take their chances. They're afraid of turning the ball over. But those, if you turn the ball over, it's 40 yards downfield. You know what I mean? You got to take those shots to back them off a little bit.
Pete, I don't think they're going to be aggressive. I think, barring terrible weather and wind like they had, it wasn't even the cold or the snow. It was the wind that made it difficult. I mean, we've seen this team throw more on first down as of late and be more aggressive when the game permits it. But if they get a lead, they're handing that thing off playing field position football and let that defense go to work.
But at some point, that's going to get you. You know that.
Pete,
you know how it is.
Okay, look at the schedule. Tell me where it's going to get you on this schedule, if they have remaining.
It might get you this week at Arizona.
Really?
The Blaine train.
Okay. You want to you really think that, Pete?
No. I mean, that's going to be a tough game for them. Tougher than you think. Their defense isn't bad there. Arizona, and it's a back-to-back road games for a young team. It's going to be a tough game.
Every game's going to be close when you play.
The Cleveland game was tough.
Yeah, when you play this style of football, they're all close, Pete.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If they had made a mistake yesterday, a bad mistake late in that game, could they have lost that? Have lost that game. Okay.
Yes.
Well, there you go. They're playing the worst team in the league. They play their style of football. They play great defense. And if they fumble the ball on a snap or something late in the game, Cleveland cashes it in from 25 yards out, they lose the football game.
But
that's the point.
But to be fair, Pete, they also played the Pittsburgh Steelers tight. They played the Tennessee Titans tight. I mean, this is a bad football team that has not won a football game, but they played a lot of close games. Took the Titans to overtime and should have won that game. So, I mean, you look at the Arizona Cardinals coming up. You're telling me that offensive line, that makeshift offensive line, is going to block the front four of the Jaguars?
I don't think they will.
No.
But, that defense isn't awful on the other side of the ball either. I mean, they're capable.
Chandler
of
Jones
plays.
Is a really good player.
And Patrick Peterson's a really good
Patrick
player.
Peterson's
and Buda
very
Baker
good.
Had a great game yesterday. And Tyron Badger's a good player.
Yeah, Tyron Matthew is a very good player as well.
Yeah. They're not a big team, though, so I think
I don't think they're that fast at linebacker level either.
They'll be able to run it because Dansby's in there.
Yeah,
he's
Dansby's,
180.
Yeah, he's not the youngest guy. And they have the Buchanan. Deion Buchanan.
Who's little.
Who's a safety playing Will linebacker.
Right. That's why I think they can run on him next week.
I do,
week.
Too.
But again, when you play that style, everything has to be exactly right, or you're going to be in a game at the end of the game where you fumble the football, turn it over, and it's going to come back and bite you. You know that. That's the way it is. It's always been that way when you play that style of football.
Does this team lose another football game this year before the playoffs, Pete?
Yes. Absolutely.
To who?
Don't know, but they're going to lose one.
Oh, you know, Pete. Who?
Who? Seattle?
No, I think they beat Seattle.
We'll know more about Seattle tonight, won't we?
Yes, we will.
When they, okay. If but Tennessee at the last game of the year might not mean anything.
Oh, it's going to be for the number one seed.
Oh, my God. You're a doozy there, son.
It's going to be at least for the number two seed.
And it, you know what? If it's for the number two seed, you could got the uh-oh again, and everybody would go, no, no.
I still have never heard this, Pete. Oh, this the second week in a row you're talking about this.
Joe's got it in the system somewhere. He has to.
He's smiling. He's not bringing it out.
Bring
it out.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. A little more defensive talk when we return. Special teams had a little bit of a rocky start in the game, but found a way a little later. Got it done. Your calls in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Yeah, they did an outstanding job, except for the one series. You know, I think the one series, it was a little mix-up. They hit us on the seam, and, you know, they made that play. But pretty much after that, I thought the defense played very well, you know, very good against the run. And this team, you know, obviously I said it early in the week, I thought their line was very good, very tough, you know, the backs. You know, I think the weather probably played a little bit with, you know, in the passing game. You know, there was some gusts that were going on out there. I think, you know, defensively, they did a nice job.
Doug Marone in the postgame last night after the Jags win in Cleveland. 19-7 the final. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco down in South Florida at CBS Sports headquarters, digital headquarters. So this defense, overall rankings this year, they're first overall in yardage now, 276 yards per game. They're first in pass defense, first in yards per play, first in points per game, first in takeaways, sacks. They're fourth in the league on third down, and they're now 16th in the league on rushing defense at 114 yards a game. You know, entering week nine, they were dead last in the league in rushing. That was before the Darius trade. In the next three games, 29 yards against Cincinnati, 87 against the Chargers, and then 50 rush yards allowed yesterday. They're now 16th in 3 weeks' time. A little bit of Darius, because he only played, what, 12 snaps in that Cincinnati game? And it was – they didn't have any snaps overall in that game. Anyway.
Only had 37.
But it's, and he's gone up kind of each week here. But not just Darius's play, but the play of the guys around Darius, I think, has changed this run defense a little bit. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, you just did the numbers. I mean, what kind of question is that?
Okay, well, tell us about the other guys playing well around.
No, they're playing good football.
Good.
No,
thanks,
I'm
Tony.
Joking.
That's real nice.
awkwardness. The Darius, I think he should be playing more snaps, frankly. I think he should be out there more. He is a dominant player. He should be playing the one technique the majority of the time. They're better when he's on the field against the run, taking nothing away from Avery Jones. But Marcell Darius was a top five, top ten pick, whatever he was. One of the best.
It's third overall.
Yeah, top five. Yeah. One of the best. 2 years ago, was one of the best interior defensive linemen in all of football. Got paid like one. Had a couple, tough year and a half. Came here. And he's playing at an extremely high level. And they are, you know, obviously we talk about the pass because of the pass rush and the cover guys on the back half. But now you make it difficult to run the ball on top of it. That's why this defense becomes so suffocating. And it would be fun to look at the numbers of yards per carry when Darius is on the field and when he's not, and what the difference is there. That would be a good study to do. So, JPI, task
we'll
you
work
with
on
that.
It, yes.
Yeah, please have
when
that.
When he's out there, when he's not out there.
Yes, yeah. Please do that.
We'll get on that this week.
He's a big, physical, tough guy who can move. I mean, and you know, we said this a couple weeks ago, though, Tony, when he got him, we said that he would make Avery Jones play better. And he has.
Yeah, they're all playing better. So that's why I didn't want to take anything away from Avery. He is playing better. But if you're asking me who's better at the one technique, the best Avery can be or the best Darius can be, it's the best Darius can be. I mean, he's just a better football player. It's nothing against Avery. I mean, Marcell Darius is one of the best football players at his position in all football.
There's a reason why he was third overall.
That's right. Yeah. And why they paid him. You know,
he played 24 snaps and Avery Jones played 22. Yesterday. You think that should be more like what,
30 and 16?
Yeah.
It's just me.
I thought Smoot made a couple good plays yesterday.
Smoot's playing good.
Just off the TV tape. Yeah,
Smoot's playing well. I mean, the whole defense is playing extremely well. Yannick Ngakoue is just a workhorse, just plays so hard and is so talented of getting on the edge of guys and creating all kinds of disruption. You know, Calais continues to be a pain in the, you know what, on the inside pass rush and pressing the pocket, creating all kinds of havoc. The speed at the linebacker levels when they do blitz, which is not very much what they do to quarterbacks. I mean, and then you look at the secondary, it's just a lot of times there's nowhere to throw the ball. Now, DeShone Kizer was awful, and he's not a very good player right now. But it's just it's a suffocating group. I don't know of a better term to use than suffocating. That's
and
how
Fowler's getting better. Fowler's getting better.
Yes, he is. He is playing much better. He's rushing the passer. He's using moves. He's using pass rush moves. Hand slaps, turning his hips, getting the edge. He had a couple of really nice pass rushes. I mean, it's all coming together. It's what you want. I mean, this is a team. I said it this morning on the with Dan and Jeff. I'll say it now. This team travels. And what I mean by that they can play anywhere, anytime, in any conditions. There's certain teams that don't travel. A lot of times those Colts teams, as good as they were with Peyton Manning, that wasn't a team that traveled. You get the wrong environment, wrong weather. That's why they needed to get home field in the playoffs. And that's why they struggled. Now, they won to get to the Super Bowl. They ultimately ended up winning. They won in New England, so it's not 100% true.
No, but they didn't. They won in – that was in Indy.
I thought they did that in New England. Was that in Indy?
They beat them in Indy.
I stand corrected.
There you go.
But this team travels, Pete, and not every team does in the NFL.
But, again, I go back to what I was saying earlier. As well as they played on defense yesterday, as well as they supposedly ran the ball, they got the ball. Cleveland had the ball at the end of the game with a chance to go down and win the game. Correct?
They never really had a chance, but yes.
Why not? But you know what I'm saying. It was 13-7, right?
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah,
well, so that's what I'm talking about. Now, they did have a touchdown taken off the board by the whistle.
Terrible.
Why'd they blow that
whistle? Terrible.
You shouldn't have blown the whistle.
Second time that's happened this year, by the way.
The first one was not a touchdown.
He was going to go.
No, he was
not.
Yeah,
he was.
This one he was
this
going.
One,
this
he
one
gone.
He was gone. Yes.
That's why there were a lot of people around the country. I don't know if you guys heard when Jacksonville scored that touchdown at the end of the game. It was a cover for them,
yeah,
you know.
They excelled,
and guys. Yeah, but they also kind of got one taken away. That should have. I mean, it was. You always got to let that play out, right? I mean, you have to let them scoop and score, and then you go back and review it, not blow the whistle. It was clear. It was on his way to a touchdown.
Yeah,
that was a bad call by the officials.
It's easy to correct it the other way if you are late blowing the whistle. It's impossible to correct it if you blow it too early.
So that was a Telvin Smith sack on that play.
It was really Telvin, Calais, and Ngakoue. Three guys were all on top of Kizer on that play. So, I mean, but Pete, so you don't agree with my assessment that this team travels well?
No, defense travels. I'll give you that.
Defense and run game travels.
But you know what? I'll ask you this 100%. Would you rather, in the postseason at New England, would you rather have Peyton's offense back in the day or Jacksonville's defense?
Jacksonville's defense.
Seriously. You're a liar.
In New England? Tell me how many times Peyton's offense beat New England in New England. Tell me how many times, Pete.
Would you rather have your offense back in the day that was explosive or this defense?
Well, we had a good defense, too.
But we're throwing it out. Your offense or this defense? You can pick one or the other.
I might go with this defense, Pete. This defense.
I don't think your ego would allow you to go with this.
Well, probably not. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, selfishly, I'm going to say my offense, or the offense I was on.
Okay, but Tony,
my point is, Pete, what teams have beaten the Patriots in recent history? It's not the teams with the great offenses. It's the teams with the great defense. It's the Seattle Seahawks. It's the Denver Broncos. It's the Baltimore Ravens. It's those teams that had great defenses that went into New England and the Patriots couldn't do anything.
For that one day, they were better. You're right. But tell me the
last great offense that went in and beat New England when it mattered. Because guess what? Whatever your great offense is, they have Tom Brady, and he's going to be better.
That's right.
Silence. Let me drop the mic.
Kansas City went in there and we didn't beat him with an offense, did they? Am I wrong about that?
He's walked away, Pete. He walked off the desk.
You know why? Because his ego got ruffled there when he said that he wasn't sure. You know how he didn't want to say that, JP.
He can barely walk through the door with that big head of his.
No, never.
The Jags return to Everbank Field December 3rd to host the Indianapolis Colts, the start of a three-game homestand to crank off the playoff push. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
That's what we do, honestly. That's all I can really say. That's what we do, what we expect. You know, we got the right guys, got the right personnel, got the depth. So that's just something that we're supposed to do.
It's Dante Fowler Jr. after the dominant defensive effort yesterday in Cleveland. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli has made his way back into the studio.
Oh, I dropped the mic, baby.
Pete Prisco's with us down in
South
Florida.
You really did.
Pete wants no piece of me tonight.
Tony.
Yeah.
Match up your – if your offense played the Jaguars defense right now, seriously, how would you attack that defense?
Well, number one, if they're going to go single high safety – play their cover three in the single high safety, we could pass protect. I mean, I like the matchup. You know, I think we'd be okay up front. And as much as I think Jalen Ramsey's a great corner, I have never seen a corner in the history of this game who could cover Jimmy Smith. Not nope. one. Not,
that would be a hell of a matchup, though.
It'd be a great matchup because Jalen's big and long.
Right.
But I've never, not once, saw a corner, and Jimmy played against all the best, never could cover him one-on-one. Hmm. Pete, am I wrong?
No, there wasn't.
Ty Law, great player.
Yes.
Go ask him how it went with Jimmy Smith.
Samari Roll could cover him.
None of them could. Jimmy Smith. One of the reasons we ran the ball so well is because we got a lot of coverage. We were number two team rushing in the league for a couple years, top five for quite a while. And part of the reason was because you had to play cover two. You had to put a safety over the top with Jimmy. So I think we'd attack and try to get Jimmy involved. Obviously, Keenan was great underneath. And we could run the ball Fred Taylor. I mean, I think it would be a great matchup. Be a tough game. I mean, this Jaguar defense is very good. I mean, Calais Campbell would be a handful for anybody. You know, the matchup.
Except you.
The matchup. Well, I mean, no. I mean, it's not like you're going to move Calais Campbell off the ball. I wouldn't. His pass rush wouldn't worry me as much. But the trying to move him would be difficult. You don't move them.
I wish we could. I wish there's a way that you could actually have a simulated game where you played them, matched up against them like that.
Yannick Ngakoue would be a tough matchup, but because I wouldn't be overly worried about his power as much. You know, I think you're gonna have a game plan for that. I mean, Searcy would be fine. Searcy's a very good pass rusher. I think where we would have, you know, we weren't great at the center position. With John Wade or Quentin Newyear, both were just okay. And I think that matchup against Darius would be really tough. And the speed at the linebackers would be tough because they could fly. So, yeah, it'd be a great
match. You're discounting a few things, though. One, you had – in the good year, you had Kyle Brady, right?
Kyle Brady. No, I'm saying I think it would be a very good matchup.
So you could run the ball from the edges because he could block the edge. He was a great blocker. The other thing is, you know, the greatest defensive, arguably we were just talking about the 2000 Ravens, Jimmy had 15 for 291 and three touchdowns against them.
Well, that's
in
my
game.
Point. I mean, and the tough part would be, my guess is we'd get in 11 personnel, one back, three wides. And if we got single high, we'd check to a pass. If we got the two high safety look, I think the matchup of Kyle Brady, who was a great blocker against running on the edge, as Pete just talked about, against Ngakoue or Fowler, would be an advantage. Because Brady was like another offensive tackle out there. So, but listen, it would not be easy.
And then there's the Fred factor.
That's what I'm
not
saying.
Forget about the Fred.
No,
factor.
That's what I said. We'd run the ball. Fred's gonna make plays.
I think you guys. I'll be honest with you. As good as this defense is, I still think you guys would move the football on them.
Well, we moved the football against a lot of people, but that doesn't mean you'd win.
I think you would – if you had to – at the end of the day, if you looked at the way you played against them, you would say your offense won.
Well, I really believe that. Well, and I think overall as a team we were better because we had a good defense, too. We had the number one defense in the league that year.
Right.
So, but, you know, we didn't win. We lost in the title game, so it's all for naught.
And we're going to come back.
It's a waste, Pete. Waste.
It's fun to play the game, though. It's fun to speculate.
It would be tough.
I'm curious.
The great matchup.
See what the fans think.
The great matchup would be Jimmy versus Jalen.
Jalen.
Yeah. Let me tell you what.
Phenomenal.
A.J. Boye better strap it up, too, because the current wide receiver coach on the Jaguars, I promise you, would have something for him and would be running his mouth the entire time.
You're darn right he would.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. When we return, Pro Football Focus grades. We've got to find a Tony Buscelli Twitter question of the night.
I've got to tweet that out and ask.
Ask away at Tony Buscelli and your calls, 355-NFL-1. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Right now, we're at top of the AFC South. Sorry. Congratulations. Yeah. All right. Now, the bad part is, okay, it's not the end of the season yet. We've got a long way to go. We got some young guys that made some mistakes today. We got some older guys that made some mistakes today. We just got to get our focus about ourselves and focus, and then let's go play. You guys with me on that? But, hey, I'm not going to be Debbie Downer. I just want to tell you what we have to do. Great job. Congratulations. There we go. Break it down.
Now, we're cleaning up. We're getting ready to go to work. But right now, we're 7-3. Yeah. Try to get to 8-3, baby. Yes, sir. Yep. Let's go. Family on three. 1, 2, 3. Bam!
Post-game locker room yesterday, Doug Marrone and then Calais Campbell breaking it down. All that courtesy Jaguars.com. Jaguars Monday, second hour underway. J.P. Shattuck, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Jags win 19-7 over the Cleveland Browns to improve to 7-3. Four-game win streak for this Jaguars football team.
So a lot of questions are coming in for the Twitter question of the night. This is not the official Twitter question of the night, but this is a good one. Does Prisco ever sit under South Florida bridges and tell riddles to the people as they walk by?
Wow.
Village troll.
It's a great about that.
What does that mean?
They're calling you a troll.
A troll.
You sit under the bridge like a troll. Yeah.
Last week it was a leprechaun, but you're not Irish and I don't think you could grant three wishes. So that's debunked.
No, but why? Because is he getting mad cuz I'm trolling? Am I trolling something? I didn't but cuz I'm stirring the pot a little bit? What am I trolling?
I don't know.
You're not always angry, are you, Pete? No.
No.
I think you're fair.
I just play that role sometimes.
See, that's probably what it was.
Look, before the season, I was just thinking about this today. This team is 7-3 and in first place, and in the preseason, do you remember?
Oh.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. I thought it was over.
Right.
I mean
we thought that.
Pete, both of us thought they'd be lucky to get to six.
Right. I mean, it's
they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect. They couldn't do anything. Defensively, they were giving up chunk yardage in the run game. I mean,
it's amazing.
It is.
And now they got a possible chance to win 13 games.
It's unreal.
I said this the other day, though, Tony. If they're the number two or one seed, they might be the worst of number one and two seed in the history of the league.
No.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you say no for, Tony?
That's what
you go back and look through the one and two seeds, and you tell somebody came up with the Kerry Collins Titans seed that was a one seed. Remember that team?
I don't.
They went 13-3 and then got dumped in the playoffs by the Ravens.
See, this is the kind of thing I see coming. Like, there's so many stars out of the league this year, and injuries, and some teams that normally play well aren't playing well. That. A lot of like national types are going to give that as an excuse. All the Jaguars are kind of backdooring into this thing.
They weren't supposed to be any good. You can't say that. You got to give credit no matter what they do.
That's what
this
I'm
was
saying.
Not supposed to be a good
know,
football team.
I could
team.
See that coming though.
Yeah, who cares?
Line.
Who cares about
you know
that?
What I mean? Yeah.
Right. I mean, this was supposed to be a building block year, right? So whatever you get, it's gravy. It's kind of like in '96, Tony. Whatever you guys got was gravy that year.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And then in 99, it was supposed to be the year, and
yeah,
we know what happened to that one.
Maybe that one. You like that question, JP?
We'll see if we get to that. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1. We'll get to your calls coming
up. Are we going PFF?
Let's go Pro Football Focus grades first tonight, Pete, if you have them handy.
Let's see if we can make them angry tonight. You think we can?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we will because he's a cheery guy. He's in the holiday spirit this week. He's a cheery guy.
I am cheery. I'm always happy.
All right, let's go to the offense. One, two, three players. Ooh, we're in the green.
Chris Reed.
He was not.
He should have been.
Negative minus.
Well, they're dumb.
Okay.
Leonard Fournette.
Was not.
Yeah, the pass protection.
He wasn't in either one, though.
D.D. Westbrook?
Nope. They have
Linder?
A.J. Cam was in the green. Josh Wells was in the green, Tony. For his pass protection.
He actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, Pete, he did a good job. I mean, they had no pressure on that side. The pressure came from Cam's side.
And then Cam is in way in the minus pool.
He did not play well.
He's a minus two in pass protection and a minus two in run protection and for a total of minus five. He had a bad day.
I can't argue with them on that. I can't.
And Marquise Lee's in the green for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Those are the three.
Chris Reed should have been in the green. AJ Camp, I thought the interior three played fine. Chris Reed, Linder, and
Linder is almost in the green, but he's not quite there.
I thought Chris Reed played well. I mean, this is where I don't know what they're looking at. I mean, honestly, we can go back.
They gave him a good grade in pass protection and a minus 0.9 in run block.
That's wrong. I mean, I can go through the tape play by play, and he played well.
Well, they can't.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. They don't watch the tape. They watch TV.
The penalty. Hurt him.
Okay, what about AJ Cann's penalty? He had a holding against Danny Shelton.
Yeah. He got a minus for that, too.
My point is, this is what happens when you watch the TV copy and you watch the All-22 copy. You get an accurate view from the All-22 copy, and you don't know what you're talking about on the TV copy.
Were you surprised that Reed started that game?
Yes, I did not have any insight until the right before the game. But after watching, it was the right call. Great job by the staff. And my guess is Chris Reed will probably be the starter maybe the rest of the year. He might have won that job.
The rest of the year?
Over Omame?
Wow.
He played well. Really well.
You're going to make a decision after one game, Tony?
Well, number one, it's not going to be one game. Omame's beat up, so he's going to get a couple games. And if he continues to play that well, Pete, are you going to take him out?
Boy. I'd hate to be on your line at Episcopal one game and you're.
I didn't say, Pete. Did you hear what I just said?
It might be a couple games, but okay. Let's just say Omami's ready to play next week. What do you do?
That's a great question.
I'd probably go back to Omame just because I have a larger sample size of seeing what he can do. But
so what you're saying
this,
is Chris Reed's game yesterday was better than any game Omame had.
As good. How about that?
Okay.
And my point of saying is if Chris Reed continues to play that well, I mean, he played really well, then I don't know if you go back to Omame coming off an injury. Now, if it's one game deal, sure, go. But I'm not sure it's good. I mean, he couldn't finish the game last week or week and a half, whatever it was, against the Chargers. He didn't play this week. He was inactive. Didn't even make the trip. Didn't even travel. I'm not sure he's going to play in Arizona. We don't know. But if he doesn't and Chris Reed continues to play well.
What is his injury?
Lower, it's got a quad.
Lower body.
Quad. Yeah. Yeah,
So what about defense, Pete?
Okay. Look, if Chris Reed's better, then you play him. But I don't know. You know, one game. If he plays a couple games.
I didn't
games
say
like
one
that,
game.
Maybe.
Listen.
All right.
Pay attention.
All right. Nobody's in the red on defense. Nobody.
Well, Ngakoue's green.
They're all green. Highest green?
Yeah.
Ngakoue is the highest.
Yeah,
he's the highest green.
Two and a half sacks and two strip sacks. They all played well.
The only negative grade on the entire board is Marcell Dareus for pass rush.
Yeah, I guess he didn't do much, but that's okay. I'm fine with that.
Everybody else is in green.
He's dominant in the run game.
He did everything else well.
It sure looks like Malik Jackson has amped up his game a
playing
little bit.
Much better, Pete. Playing much
yeah.
better.
Yeah, and that was something early in the season when the run defense wasn't playing well. It wasn't just Avery Jones.
It was both of them.
Well.
It was both.
Both of them. Yeah, they've amped up their game. Everybody in the secondary got positive grades in the starting secondary.
Who was the lowest green?
In the secondary?
Yeah.
Gibson. Accurate?
Yeah, they all played well. I don't know. I would have said Gibson, Ramsey, Church, and then Boye the highest.
What did Coleman have against Ramsey? 6 for 80 yesterday?
Yeah.
Boye is the highest.
Yeah, I would say Church second.
Ramsey and Church are tied for second, okay. And then Gibson is
third.
That
was close.
And
Colvin's
probably
up there, too.
He's in a small minus for Colvin.
Yeah, I doubt that. That's a bad call.
All right, and then Dwayne Smoot had a good grade. I thought I flashed in the 9 plays he played.
Yeah, he played very well. He's played well all year for a rookie.
Fowler got a good grade. Miles Jack had a really good grade.
They're really good, Pete.
Telvin Smith didn't have a great grade, which I find surprising.
It's green, isn't it?
No, it's not green.
Non-green. He had a couple missed tackles. He had the most missed tackles I've seen this year.
He had an interception, and he covered a
touchdown. Missed tackles.
Four missed tackles. Yeah. He had a lot of missed tackles for him. Although he had an interception
and a touchdown.
It's hard to go.
I mean, that doesn't over.
Now, the touchdown, he just fell on the ball, so let's not get
carried away. Was there.
Okay, great. So was I was in the booth.
That's what
Wasn't he in on a sack, too?
That's why, Tony, you know, you mentioned that he fell on the ball. Because when Jason Taylor went into the Hall of Fame, they talked about how many touchdowns he scored on defense and everything. I said, getting a strip sack and forcing the turnover is better than the guy falling on the ball for a touchdown.
Agreed. Now, if you do both, that's a good
job. Then you're a game changer.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete, I think you're going to like the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night tonight. It comes from Kempe_Ryan. Does this team have a real chance to beat New England in the playoffs? What do you say, Tony?
Oh, they're built to beat the Patriots. They're the exact type of team that can beat the Patriots. Now, the Patriots would be a favorite, probably a 7-point favorite, if they played right now, especially in New England. But the way you beat the Patriots is you control the clock by running the ball. I am not sold on that front seven. They're playing much better. Matt Patricia is a genius. He's a wizard. Him and Bill Belichick.
Oh, Belichick's the genius.
Yeah, but Patricia's pretty good too.
He is good.
He's good. They're wizards. They figure out a way to get a bunch of guys who can't run to play good defense. But I still think you can run the ball against them. And the way you beat Tom Brady, it's very simple. You got to pressure him. And you got to pressure him up the middle. You got to press the pocket. Not allow them to step up and let the edges get home. They can cover. They can play press man. They can take away the underneath stuff. They have linebackers who can run with Gronk. They are built to beat the Patriots, and yes, they can. Now, again, the Patriots would be a big favorite. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Patriots, but they have the defense to do it.
And
Pete, you disagree?
When they went up. No, you want to make them uncomfortable. I think they're the one team that has the defense that makes them uncomfortable. But when they went up there and played them in the playoffs that one year, that defense was pretty good that year, remember?
They didn't rush the passer like this group.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. They had nobody who could run. They could stop the run, but they couldn't pressure the quarterback.
Nothing against Paul Spicer, but he was their best pass rusher.
Right. They couldn't get after the quarterback.
And they did not have the corners this group has. They played a lot of cover two, Pete, if you remember. They were a zone team, kept everything underneath.
Right, that was Smitty.
That's right.
He was always a cover two guy.
That's right.
I mean, Rasheen could have been a good cover corner if they had to use him that way, I think.
Rasheen was great. Very good player. Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't have two guys who could play man the way they do now.
No, and they didn't have the pass
rushers.
And
really, a third. I mean, Aaron Colvin is an outstanding player. They have three guys who can play man-to-man and lock people up. And they have linebackers who can run. I mean, Gronk is a problem for anybody, but at least you have people who can cover him, have a chance to cover him.
It would be an interesting way to see, you know, because when Belichick plays a good defense that can stop the run, he spreads them out and throws the ball. Or like when he played Denver, he spread those guys out and then he threw into the middle of the field and avoided the two corners. So it would be interesting to kind of speculate on how he would attack the Jaguars defense. I think what he would do, don't you think he would attack them similar to what he did to the Broncos and try and stay away from the outside guys and go inside?
I think this defense is better than the Denver defense.
Well, right now it is.
Yeah.
It wasn't better than the defense that won the Super Bowl.
Yes, it was. Yes, it is.
Well, where's the Von Miller on this defense?
Okay, they're better at linebacker level because they can run better.
Yes.
They're better at the interior of the defensive line.
Oh, remember that line? That team had Trevathan playing at a high level, and he was good that year, Tony.
Okay, fine. Are you going to take Trevathan or Miles Jack?
I take Telvin Smith.
And Miles Jack.
Okay.
I mean, it's not even close.
But the Von Miller factor kind of
Von Miller is the one guy. But
right.
I mean, and Ngakoue has 9 sacks, Pete, after 10 games.
I know.
Let's not forget that. I'm not saying he's Von Miller.
The corners are comparable.
Comparable. The safeties are comparable.
Right. No, I think
the linebackers are better. The interior of this defensive line is better.
Well, Malik counts on both.
Okay. Darius is better than anything else they had. And Calais Campbell's better than anything else they had.
Yeah. Wolf was pretty good that year, though,
Okay. Calais Campbell has 10 sacks, Pete, after 10 games.
Yeah.
I'm just telling
you. It's
a better defense.
Is it a better defense than the Seattle defense from 2013? Now?
Yes. No, that's tough because they had
they had Earl Thomas.
Yeah, they had Earl Thomas. They have Cam Chancellor. They had Richard Sherman. They did not have the other corner. They didn't have the nickel the Jaguars had, but they had Bobby Wagner, who I think might be the best linebacker in all of football. K.J. Wright can run.
Underrated, most underrated linebacker in all
of
football.
They had 3 or 4 pass rushers. I mean, that's a tough one. That's a good comparable.
Yeah. But they ain't better than the 85 Bears, so please stop that.
Who's better, Pete? 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens.
85 Bears. 85 Bears were, I mean, Tony, I don't know if you remember.
I do. I do.
That defense was ahead of its time because they played the way they played. But then they started figuring it out. You max protect. Remember the Redskins got them the next year when they max protected against them and figured it out a little bit. But before that, you talk about Hall of Famers.
The Dolphins didn't mass protect. They spread them out and went, we're going to throw it all over the yard
that was
and beat
Dan.
You on Monday
that
night.
That was Dan, though.
I can remember as a kid watching that game Monday night.
They had Hall of Famer, middle linebacker in Singletary. Dan Hampton is a down defensive lineman was a Hall of Famer. Richard Dent was a Hall of Famer. I mean, Otis Wilson and Wilbur Marshall were as nasty an outside linebacker duo you could do. Now, the secondary wasn't
Jeff
that
Fisher.
Good. He didn't start, though. But the secondary, you know who was one of the starting corners on that team? Leslie Frazier,
the
coach. They weren't that good on the secondary, but that front, whoa.
You couldn't throw the ball quick.
No.
You couldn't get rid of it.
No.
Let's get one call in before the first break here in the second hour.
All right, let's do that.
Let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL-1. We start out on the west side this evening. Chris wants to discuss this Jags defense. Chris, good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm fired up because
you sound fired up.
We beat the Browns. We beat the weather. We beat the refs. We beat even a little bit of Blake Bortles. I'm fired up because we've got an outstanding defense. I think I don't agree with some of the comparisons to like the great defenses, you know, that we've seen in the Super Bowls and whatnot, but I think it's worth discussing. I mean, we already got a couple of guys from this defense, probably in the pride of the Jaguars, but this is something to be proud of, right?
Wait, just out of curiosity, who are you putting in the pride of the Jaguars after 10 games?
Well, I mean, you got in with a short career, right?
No, I did. It was more than 10
you
games.
You're being a wise guy. He's being a wise guy.
I know he is, but he can't bother me. We're 7-3. I want to know after 10 games who we're putting in there, smart ass.
Okay. Let's say Jalen has his career cut short. It's a discussion, right? Whether he goes into the pride or not, right?
Not if it was cut short right now.
Well, it was for Brackens. I mean, it's a discussion with Brackens. Am I wrong?
Brackens played for 8 years.
Right.
Brackens had like 2 or 3 really good years. Am I wrong?
Oh, gosh. Can we end this call? This is the dumbest call we've ever
had.
It's
a bad call.
Seriously,
bad
Chris,
call.
Don't call back. Thank you.
Wow.
That was a dumb call.
You know what
he was being a smart
ass
trying to get.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He was trying to be a wise guy.
It worked.
No, it was stupid.
It got under your skin.
It didn't get under my skin. A good, wise.
It got under my skin.
Okay, but if you really want to have a good call that gets, you have to do it in a way that it prolongs it enough where we don't figure out that you're just being a smart guy, and you play it along till we get really deep engaged and get really mad. That was too easy. That was dumb. It's dumb.
We'll come back and see if we can upgrade from that one.
Yeah, worst call. Joe, can you please screen them better? Here, give me that.
No, you're not reading this. Yeah. No. Yeah. Turn off the mic's off. Sorry.
Give it to me now.
Check out
it's on.
Henry
see, I can hear it.
Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over
Audi.
Today.
Get an Audi.
For details.
See? Okay.
Get one today.
Today.
Head over.
Call right now.
It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We like to just keep our heads down and keep grinding and keep working and see where we end up in the end. You know, you can't – the parity is so good in this league, and it's so week to week that your focus has to be that much better every single week. So we know what's ahead, and, you know, it's gonna take everybody.
Mercedes Lewis in the locker room in Cleveland yesterday after the Jags
won. Big touchdown by Mercedes.
19-7. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Your calls, 355-NFL-1.
Can we get better calls than that last one? It was really bad.
We can only go up.
We can probably go down, too.
John on the south side will try to improve our stock tonight, talking about coaching. John, good evening. John, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. So my concern is the play calling from the coaches. It feels like once we get a lead, even if it's 3 points, and Blake has an early turnover, they really go into a shell. I mean, once he had that early turnover, it went back to the run pass. And I feel like for us to win in the playoffs, we got to pass on first down 80% of the time, give Blake good opportunities to make plays. Don't put Blake in tough third and long situations. And it just seems like Doug Marrone feels like a three-point lead is like a 30-point lead, and it's just going to catch us in the playoffs, catch up to us. So I want to get your thoughts on the really conservative play calling in a tight game in Cleveland. Well, we got to be able to open up against Cleveland.
In fairness, some of the play calling and the conservative nature of it was due to the fact that it was blowing 30 to 40 miles an hour. And so you're going to be smart. Weather was a factor. And against a team like Cleveland, if you get a one possession lead, I mean, you almost feel like it is enough. Now, you'd like more, I agree. And when you play better teams, you're going to need more than what they got out of the offense against Cleveland. But I thought up until that game, we saw more throwing on first down. I mean, Pete and I had talked about that early in the year, and I thought probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, Pete, they did throw it more on first and second down, and were more on first down especially, and were more aggressive.
Pete.
Great, Pete.
Are you there?
Good input.
Pete, where are you?
I'm here.
Where are you?
I'm right in the same
place. What is going on with you?
It's awful.
You can't hear me.
I don't hear you now.
Maybe Joe didn't have my mic turned up.
No, it ain't Joe. It ain't Joe.
I haven't moved. I'm sitting here.
What is going on?
Bad night for Max tonight.
It ain't Hollywood.
Bad, no, I don't know. Bad night for Hollywood.
Something going on down
real,
south.
Real quick, Hollywood, you haven't got us any food tonight either, by the way.
That's another story.
Look at Tony, always looking for a handout.
He hasn't. It's disappointing.
Ordering people around.
I'm surprised you don't have a Daly's Dash sandwich sitting in front of you.
Ooh, I like one of those. The barista.
What are your thoughts? Yeah, nice. I see what you did. I mean, the play calling, Pete. What else can you do?
Yeah, I mean, you get a free pass for the weather yesterday, okay? I'll give him that one. I agree with you. But Tony, you just talked about how you might have to go play in bad weather. At some point in bad weather, you're still going to have to throw the ball on first down.
I agree, but the wind, it's not just the bad weather, Pete. I mean, cold and rain, you got to throw it still. I agree with you there. But when it's that windy and you're playing against a team like Cleveland.
He threw a 40-yard rifle shot down the
field
to Marquis Lee.
I agree. It's fine, Pete. I'm with that. But why would you be aggressive against Cleveland when you don't have to be?
Right. Because you got the ball back 13-7, gave him the ball back, you were up 13-7.
And then guess what? Your defense scored twice. One was taken back. You scored twice.
But you got to learn to put – also, you got to score to put people away sometimes too, Tony. You know, it's the NFL.
Against the better teams, I agree. And I thought – now, it was not turning into points, but would you not agree that they were throwing the ball more on first down the last – 3 or 4 weeks before the Cleveland game? Yeah.
Yes.
It still wasn't producing points. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is a juggernaut of an offense, but I don't think it's the play calling. I think they've done that.
No. See, I still think something that a lot of people are losing sight of is because of what happened at the end of the Chargers game with the two terrible picks, that the drive that tied that game kind of got lost.
It was all pass. 11
right.
plays, 11 pass calls.
Right. And so I think that kind of got lost. That was the drive. To me, it was one of Blake's best drives, if not his best drive I've ever seen. And because it was – a lot of it was conventional, stand in the pocket, make the throws. And it kind of got erased. because of what happened at the end of the game.
I agree.
He was so bad at the end of the game.
He played so well for three quarters and then awful for the last one.
Right, right. So I think sometimes they got to do that. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to do that.
But yesterday was not the game to do that.
No, probably not. No.
All right, next call. Let's go.
Sir, yes, sir. John is in Fernandina.
We got to keep the show moving. Sometimes JP lags.
Is the executive producer? AJP is the executive producer again.
Listen, you know, did you know he's in the pride of the Jaguars, Pete? I don't know if you heard about that.
Wait, he only played a couple years.
I know. Yeah, short career and everything. I don't know how he got in.
That was good. I like that.
Dede Westbrook is the topic for John in Fernandina. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Good. Better questions, I promise.
Good.
We'll be the judge of that.
Thank you.
Actually, I got two of them. Will Dede Westbrook, will it help him to get better lining up against Jalen Ramsey in practice? And how do you guys think Ramsey is going to do against Fitzgerald coming up Sunday?
Good questions, actually. Yes, I think practicing against really good players makes you better. I know for me, working against Tony Brackens, a guy who was as talented as he was made the games easier. Practicing against Clyde Simmons, a veteran who knew all the crafty moves, and even a guy like Loggs, who was a guy who had great use of his hands. It prepares you for the games. It is very valuable, and for Dede and all the receivers to play against guys like A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey in this defense are going to make you better if you go to work and take advantage of it. The second question was what?
Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Yep. I would have loved to seen this matchup when Fitz was in his prime, because he's a Hall of Famer in my book, one of the best receivers to ever play the game. It'll still be a good matchup because Larry Fitzgerald's still big and strong and is very crafty, a very good route runner. He just doesn't have the speed he once did. I mean, he used to have all that, and he could run. Now
he can't run anymore.
He can't run like he used to, but it'll still be a challenge, a different kind of challenge. I mean, Jalen's not going to be worried, or AJ's not going to be worried about getting beat over the top, but he'll use his body, and he'll use a lean here and, make you think he's going one way, break the other way. He still has some tools in the toolbox that are going to make it a challenge. But, you know, you'd like to think the advantages to the young corners in both Ramsey and Bouye. I think you'll probably see Ramsey on him most of the time.
But they don't really do that a lot, though.
Yeah, they do.
You know, not like Patrick Peterson does.
Pete, pretty much, I mean, against the Colts, Jalen follows T.Y. around. Against Cincinnati, he followed A.J. Green around. I'm pretty sure against the Chargers, if I remember right, he followed Keenan Allen around. And so he usually takes the number one guy if there's a clear number one, and they match him up when they're in man against him.
For me, this is
Antonio Brown
about, and I,
AJ.
I don't see this as being Jalen against Larry Fitzgerald. I know that's the game in the way it'll be playing out. For me, this is more about the two corners in the game, because Patrick Peterson, in a lot of people's minds, is the best guy in the league. Or he's been the best guy.
Very good.
So
he doesn't run like Jalen does.
Huh?
I don't think he runs as well as Jalen does right
now.
No, he's fast.
Maybe. Yeah.
He's also older.
But he's older. But so to me, that's going to be an interesting, little. Not that he has to worry about too much about a guy like Fitzgerald on the other side of the ball, but you can't slow the Blaine train.
I will say this: it's two of the best corners in all of football are going to be on that field. And Patrick Peterson,
maybe the two best, Tony. Maybe the two best.
Yeah, who would be considered in that league right now? I mean, Richard Sherman was before
Xavier
he got hurt.
Xavier Rhodes
is very good for Minnesota.
You know, Marshon Lattimore was fantastic, and he got hurt yesterday too.
But was he at that level, Pete?
He was playing really good, Tony. You know, I don't think Marcus Peters is. Everybody else puts him up there. I don't. Him in that
I do not either.
No, I don't.
I think right now you're right. I think they are the two best, especially with the injury to Sherman. I'll tell you what, AJ Bouye is not too far down the road.
No, he's not.
Some of the best corners in football.
You feel bad for the guy sometimes because all they ever talk about is Jalen Ramsey and AJ
gets
forgotten. Yeah, he gets forgotten.
Let's get one more call in this segment. We go to Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Wow.
Trevor is on the line. Yes, Cape Girardeau.
Trevor, where is Cape Girardeau?
It's about 90 minutes south of St. Louis.
Great. That's and you're a Jaguar fan in Cape Girardeau?
Yeah, probably about the only one around here repping them.
How many people?
I mean, I'm originally from Florida, so that's why.
How many people live in Cape Girardeau?
Well, it's a college town, so during school year, it's probably close to about 50,000, and then during the holidays, it probably drops down to about 30,000 or so.
What college is there?
SEMO, Southeast Missouri.
Yeah. Very good, SEMO.
There you go.
Outstanding. What's the mascot of the SEMO University?
It would be the Red Hawks.
The Red Hawks.
Oh, nice.
And how's the football season going there for you guys this
year? SEMO's been in the basketball tournament before, haven't they?
Yeah, the basketball team has been okay, but their football team has kind of been not so well. I don't really follow their football team too much, but I know it's definitely not really good.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Enough about
thanks for the call. We'll
Cape
talk to
Girardeau.
You later.
We'll see you next week. No, but what's your question?
No, I just had some questions about the. I know our offense was considered in the top 10 lately, and I know the last 2 weeks they've been kind of struggling. And of course the weather in yesterday's game I know played a little bit of a factor. But the 2-part question I had was, for one, what do you think they can do to maybe try to turn it around and get back on track to being that top 10 offense? And the second part of the question is, and I know the offensive line injuries have kind of bugged us a little bit, but I was kind of surprised yesterday that they didn't put Shatley back in center and move Linder over to one of the guard positions. I didn't know what you guys thought about that, too.
So, not to be a smart aleck or a wise guy, when were they a top 10 offense?
I thought I read somewhere that they were in top 10 of offense in general, but I might have been wrong.
No, maybe yards. I'm not sure, but
they were six at one point, weren't they?
Really? Oh, six in yards.
They're ninth in yards now.
Ninth in yards. Pete, would you consider them top 10 offense though in the league?
No, right. Would I consider them a top 10 offense in the league? No.
But yards.
By yards they are.
By yards they are. So.
Well,
okay.
I'll tell you right now what they are yards wise. By the way, let me look.
They were sixth
as we speak.
They're ninth.
So they're ninth. So they were sixth before this game. So
they're first in rushing, 27th in passing.
Your first question is irrelevant because they don't have to do anything to get back in the top 10.
That's fair.
No, I'm joking. to be thought as a top 10 offense where you are being productive as a top 10 offense, I think they just need more balance, and it's the passing game. And that's not all Blake, by the way. It's protection at times. At San Diego, the protection was atrocious.
LA.
Same thing. They have very young and beat up at the wide receiver position, and so that's an issue. And then you have the inconsistency in the decision-making of Blake Bortles at times. So all of it put together, I think that's where you need to see the improvement for them to be – that top 10 offense that is moving the ball, scoring points, and really putting pressure on defenses. I think that would be the thing that needs to happen. And as far as your other thing, I think it's an outstanding question because I actually mentioned that before the game yesterday, that a possible better option would have been Shatley at center and Linder at guard, because we saw how well that worked when they did it. And Linder could play all three of those positions, I believe, on the interior. He does a really good job. But I give Doug Marrone and Pat Flaherty a lot of credit. The move of Chris Reed to left guard worked out, and Chris Reed not only was not a liability, but I thought he played very good football, and I thought the interior three of Reed, Linder, and Can were strong.
Tony, here's what I want you to do. Ready? Guess the offensive where they rank in these offensive categories as it go across. You'd be surprised.
Okay.
We came at yards, okay, so 16. Yards per play.
Nine.
Yards per play.
They're probably 12th in the league.
16th.
Okay.
Rushing yards per attempt.
Five.
They're four. Rushing yards per game.
They're one.
Correct. Passing yards per game.
28th.
27th.
Pretty good. Passing yards per play.
15th.
18th.
18. pretty good.
Well, he's
looking at him.
He's JP, you're looking at him. I'm not, though. 15, I said, but 18, okay.
Sacks per pass play.
They are
eighth.
They're 10th, which is pretty good, too, right? I mean, as we go, what do you think they are on third down?
Well, they should be pretty good because they get a lot of third in manageable situations because of the run game, but they were atrocious yesterday. I know that. So I will say they are 16.
Quit telling them, 16. JP. I hear you.
I was going to say 18th. So
they're 16th. And then what are they in points?
The points is misleading because they're getting
Cats defensive points. But what do you think they
are? Well, not only those, Pete. I think they're probably fourth.
They're eighth.
Okay. Yeah, but so my question would be: it would be interesting to do take away the 30 points that the defense has scored, the 12 that the special teams have scored, and then how many times has this offense started on in plus territory because of turnovers?
That's right.
They lead the league in turnovers or second in turnovers.
Yeah, they're first.
Well, they're first in turnovers. Second in interceptions, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, correct. Second interception. So, I mean, they get short fields.
Hey, guys, let's come back. We'll get our AFC power rankings.
And NFL power rankings. We're doing
NFL
both.
Overall.
JP ruined that segment, by the way, by whispering.
I didn't ruin anything.
But in fair, Pete, so you know, I didn't look at any of them. The only one I heard him say
was
pretty
the good.
16th. Thank you.
You were pretty good, actually.
I was trying to help my guy out over here.
I don't want your help.
I'll remember that.
First of all,
I will remember that.
You can't
next
even,
time you try to read English,
you
I will remember
you can't
that.
Even do the job you have, which is lead this show in and out of breaks. Just go.
Read English.
Embarrassing.
It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
J-Dot, I thought D.D., you know, Chris Reed getting the start, Josh playing again at right tackle. You know, we got a bunch of guys that are getting some opportunities to play, and I thought they did a really good job. I thought D.D. made a couple really good catches. You know, I think Mick did a good job in special team. Didn't get a whole lot of opportunities on the offensive side of the ball. And then the guys up front, I thought, played well all day.
There's the quarterback of the first-place Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Chadwick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. This is normally the segment where we go around the AFC South, but
that'd be boring because we already know who the number one team is, and we know who the number two team is, and we don't care who three and four are.
Right. So in lieu of that tonight, we will go around the AFC and get the power rankings there. And not only that, but the NFL as a whole from each of you guys here. Where do the Jaguars stand in the power rankings, the hierarchy of the league right now?
We're going to start with the AFC top five only. I don't care about anyone after the top five. Pete, you go. I'll give you my top five. The Patriots are one. The Jaguars are two.
Two.
The Steelers are three. The Chiefs are four.
Really? They're fading right now.
And five is hard. The AFC is pretty weak. You could argue that it's the Ravens, the Chargers, or the Bills. The Bills just got killed by the Chargers, though. The Chargers are playing good football. They can't. The problem is they can't finish football games very well.
Is it the Titans?
Let's go Titans. We'll go Titans 5. We'll go Titans 5. Good call. They have a winning record. We'll go Titans 5. Who are yours, Pete? For AFC only.
Pete, are you there?
Pete, talk.
The third time tonight, Pete.
Oh, my gosh. This
Where
is embarrassing.
You?
He's ruining the entire segment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He is. I mean, seriously, he's an idiot.
Until we get
I mean,
Pete
back, is an idiot.
We'll wonder I what mean, Pete's saying. Let's,
I mean, no wonder they call him a troll.
Under a bridge.
He's under a bridge in South Florida.
Yeah. No wonder you can't hear him.
And, you know, you look at the entire NFL, you talk about power rankings. And that,
yeah.
I mean, you got to go Eagles 1, Patriots 2. Someone just left the studio, didn't like my rankings very much. But Eagles 1, Patriots 2, Saints 3.
Yeah, they're playing well.
I'm trying to think who else in the NFC is. Pittsburgh 4. No, I can't go Pittsburgh 4. I put the Jags
ahead. Vikings.
Vikings, sorry. Vikings 4.
Come on now.
Jags 5. Steelers 6.
Mm.
And then who cares?
Wow.
Seahawks 7.
I mean, there's still, what, six
Falcons
weeks to go, too.
Eight.
6 weeks to go. A lot of things can change in the last
Chiefs,
month.
Chiefs, 9.
Go all through 32. That's the top of your head. Go ahead. Please. Keep on going.
I've already forgotten who else is out there.
There you have it.
But my point, I mean,
they're right there.
They're right in the middle of it.
Right in the
hunt. That defense just makes it so tough. Did Pete leave us for the night?
I don't
hopefully?
Know what happened with Pete. We'll try to get him back. Let's take a timeout. We'll try to
Let's
get
take
Pete
a timeout.
Back. Then we'll go around the National
around
Football
the
League.
And we'll find out from Pete's. We'll get his power rankings real quick.
We'll get Pete's.
We'll let him
well.
Participate in this folly.
Why not? The JTA Game Day Express offers two downtown locations along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at JTAFLA.com. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, and we're out to Pete Prisco.
You got me
now?
Oh,
yeah, there he is.
There you are.
Oh, it's a miracle.
That wasn't me, man. So
yeah, that's embarrassing, Pete.
Somebody said they saw me freaking out on Jaguars.com.
That's why I was calling you names, because it was fun watching you overreact on the video, like you were lost.
I was annoyed.
Yeah, that was great. So give us your AFC power rankings and then your NFL power rankings.
All right, AFC power rankings. Number one, New England.
Okay.
Number two, Pittsburgh.
You're crazy. We already blew them out.
8-2. Got a better record. Number three, Jacksonville.
Woo-hoo-hoo! We should be number two, but we'll take three.
Number four, Tennessee.
How about that? The AFC South.
I'll put Kansas City ahead of Tennessee.
Okay, and but then, still, top Tennessee. Five, two then, AFC South teams, yeah. The worst division in football, supposedly.
And then the Ravens are six. It's a bad.
Who's
bad
five?
The AFC stinks.
Tennessee.
The Titans.
Oh, Titans.
Yeah.
Are the Ravens a better football team than the San Diego Chargers?
No, but you got to put them ahead of them, though.
Why?
They got a better record.
Okay, that doesn't matter.
Well, they'd be in the play. It would matter now if they had the playoffs.
Right, but they don't. There's six more games. Who will end up with a better record, the Chargers or the Ravens?
The Ravens' schedule's pretty easy, Tony. Pretty easy.
Yeah, they get,
All right. NFL overall, Pete.
All right. You want top five?
Top five.
Or top, Eagles, top ten. Okay.
Eagles one, Patriots two. Steelers 3, Saints 4, Vikings 5.
Okay, keep going. 6.
Rams, 7 Panthers, 8 Jaguars.
You had a fifth overall.
I'd put the I forgot the Rams. Move the Jags down to 6.
I think they won at Jacksonville.
Yeah, they did. I forgot the Rams. I did it off the top of my head,
record,
by the
actually.
Way. I'll give it to them. But the Panthers are not ahead of the Jaguars. Not even close.
Wow.
Jaguars are a better football team.
Your teal colors are coming out now.
I'm just telling you, the Jags would win that game.
On a neutral field, the Jacksonville would beat Carolina?
Yes, because Carolina would not score. They couldn't.
Yeah, well, Carolina's defense isn't much behind Jacksonville's, by the point.
Really?
The points?
How many points per game are they giving up?
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, tell me.
It's not what you think it is.
It ain't 14.1, I'll tell you that.
No. No, it's not 14.1. It is, if I can find it, I'll find it. Hold on. Just give me a second.
This is embarrassing.
This is fantastic.
Bad radio.
Well, ask me on the spur of the moment.
You're a national sports writer. I thought you'd have this kind of information for us. Yeah, quiet by Pete.
By the way, I give you something, a stat I did find. Do you realize Jacksonville's passed the ball almost 3 percentage points fewer than the 31st team in the league? They're dead last in the number of passing attempts per game, by the way.
Carolina, 18 points per game allowed, by the way.
Yeah, so they're giving up four more
games,
points.
180 points.
They're giving up four more points a game. And how about scoring-wise? I bet you we're scoring more points than they are, too. We're better.
Let's go around the National Football League. And we'll start off with some of these AFC South games over the weekend. The Titans, of course, Thursday night. Mariota threw 4 picks. Roethlisberger threw 4 touchdowns. And the Steelers put the Jags in first place by a half game going into Cleveland. The Jags did the rest on Sunday.
Yeah, the Titans did not look good. It's the first time I've seen Ben Roethlisberger look like Ben Roethlisberger this year. He was very accurate.
Did you do that game, Tony?
Yes, I was there. He was very accurate.
Mariota's got something wrong with him or something. He just doesn't look right.
He just had the hamstring stuff earlier in the
year,
right?
He ran the ball fine. It wasn't that. It just he was. His accuracy was all over the place. It was either really good or really bad. But Big Ben, was, man, he looked good. And he's been bad this year, I thought. But he was very accurate. Timing was back. And Antonio Brown is so good. Ooh. And Juju Smith-Schuster, Pete, is a weapon. He is a problem for teams.
And Martavis Bryant can still run.
He can.
I mean, that's the scary part of that.
Something must have happened. He didn't even play the first whole series, even in the three wide receiver sets. Eli Rogers was the starter in their three wide formation.
You know what's weird about them, though, Tony? They're not great in the red zone.
No, you want to know why?
No tight end?
And they try, for whatever reason, Todd Haley wants to spread everybody out. I mean, he wants to go empty on the two-yard line. I mean, everything is spread. And I don't think their offensive line is playing that well, Pete, right now either. They've gotten into this position blocking. Everything's at a two-point. Everything's horizontal. Nothing's vertical. I just don't think they're very physical up front. And they should be. They have a good unit. But I think the whole philosophy, what Todd Haley's brought and what they do now, is all this misdirection and draws and pass game, and it's all position stuff. And they used to be a power team, and they have guys who can do it, but they're not being asked to do it.
Yeah, Villanueva looked like he struggled the other night.
Yeah,
the left tackle, and he's a pretty good player. They're pretty good up front. They are.
But Marcus Gilbert out 4 games.
Yeah, Tennessee's PEDs. Got problems. You know, Tennessee's got problems.
Where
their schedule's so easy, though. Could Tennessee lose to the Colts this week at Indy?
No, you brought it up last week. They struggle in Indy, but I don't see them losing.
All right.
Do you?
Possibly.
Who are you picking?
Brissett's in the concussion protocol.
Who are you picking?
If he's healthy, I might pick the Colts.
Wow, going on a limb.
About that? That'd be helpful for the Jags.
I picked the Giants yesterday.
Did you really?
An overtime stunner, 12-9 the final. Alex Smith, 2 picks. Kelsey threw another, by the way.
What made you pick them?
Because I don't think the Chiefs are that good. They're 30th in defense. I didn't think it would play out the way it did. I thought the Giants would, even though with all their injuries, would play score some points. But I just – you know what's happening to the Chiefs, Tony?
No, tell
me. Instead of just playing football and lining up and running Kareem Hunt and playing regular football, they've gimmicked everything early in the season, and they've stayed with it. And now everybody's figured out their gimmicks. Like that inside shovel pass that they run to Kelsey all the time, they ran it yesterday against the Giants. He got blasted, and the ball got popped in the air and got picked off. They had Kelsey throw an interception. He got picked off. They run all those little misdirection things and everything. People figured him out. You got Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill as a weapon outside. Go play real football. And Kelsey, go play real football.
Why is Kelsey throwing the ball anywhere?
Right. Andy Reid was 16-2 off the bye. And so everybody thought they'd go in there and blow out the Giants, and now he's 16-3.
But the New Orleans Saints just continue to win an overtime victory. They overtook the Redskins. They were down 31-16 with 5:58 to play. Two late touchdowns and then an overtime field goal.
Pete, Perkins asked if you could put a phone book up underneath your so you get a little bit higher in the picture.
When he gets the tapes that I've asked him for about you to get you in the Hall of Fame, I'll do it.
Okay.
Tell him that.
Oh, all right. Well,
ooh, shots fired.
Yeah. I love my man Mike Perkins.
Wow.
Mike Perkins has been giving me crap for 30 years, by the way. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And it will never stop, Pete. I sit on the back of the bus every week with him, and he has yet to stop running his mouth and saying the same thing over and over again, that I'm the most overrated left tackle in the history of the NFL.
Well, he only played. He had a short career, Tony. I mean,
that's the
gone
that's the best
tonight.
Thing about Perkins is he can give it and he can take it.
You know the best. He tells me, he says, "You only had one good game against Bruce Smith, and you had a brace on. That's all you ever did." I love him.
Awesome.
Actually, I like to punch him most days, but
hey,
I do love
you mentioned
him.
The Saints,
yeah.
JP.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what you know. What happened yesterday?
How about this, Pete? First team since the 1947 Bears to win 8 straight after losing the first two.
It's pretty incredible, isn't it? But all we talked about for 7 of those games was, they run the ball, they can play great defense, they run the ball, they play great defense. And I knew all along, come on, you can have the run game, you can have the defense, but you always know that you're going to have that Hall of Fame quarterback to bail you out in situations like that, and that's exactly what he did. They're good. They're really good.
How does that team match up against a team like the Eagles, a big physical team like them?
That's a good question. They're pretty. You know, Tony, you talk about offensive line play.
Yeah.
Up until yesterday, because they didn't play very well yesterday.
I haven't seen one game of the Saints this year. I haven't seen
them. Watched them on tape last week. If you put on the tape from last week when they dominated the Bills, who aren't very good, that offensive line with Armstead and Pete and Max Unger and Larry Warford, who they signed away from the Lions, and the right tackle Ramczyk, who had a bad game yesterday but was really good last week, they're good up front, and they can run the ball if they have to. And on the defensive side, losing Okafor yesterday, he was their other end. He's lost for the season with an Achilles injury. That's going to hurt them a little bit.
Couple of Achilles yesterday. Deontay Freeman, the running back for the Texans, also
Foreman. Yeah.
Also tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and the 5-4 Atlanta Falcons look to stay relevant in the NFC South. They'll head to the Pacific Northwest and face what's left of the Legion of Boom defense. Pete Prisco's guy, Russell Wilson, and the 6-3 Seattle Seahawks. Who you got tonight, Pete?
No Richard Sherman, no Cam Chancellor, no Cliff Averill. That's
no problem.
Atlanta is going up there and winning that game.
I actually
they're going to get on a little bit of roll.
I picked the Atlanta Falcons as well.
I can't wait to see this game, by the way. I'm excited for this one. For the first time in a long time on a Monday night, I'm looking forward to the game. I like Atlanta to win the game.
I think Atlanta wins as well. I think Atlanta makes a late season run and makes some noise in the playoffs.
Three games at home coming up after this, so it's a big game for them.
Yeah.
There you have it, Monday Night Football. Hey, the Jags heading to Arizona. The Blaine train awaits. Blaine Gabbert, Byron Leftwich is the quarterback's coach. All we're lacking is Mark Brunell and David Garrard.
David Garrard.
You got the whole franchise history in one game.
Is this Bruce Arians' last year of coaching, Pete? Is he done after this?
You hear rumblings of it, yeah. You know, there might be some people that think that he ain't coaching well this year.
Can you pay attention? We can see you as you're playing around with cords and stuff. Pay attention.
Did you hear what I said?
It's embarrassing.
I can move stuff and talk at the same time. I can do two things.
You are so unprofessional.
Barista.
Sport coats.
I don't know. I think he might retire. That's what you hear rumblings. He's retiring. Not that he's going to get the boot, that he's going to retire. But, you know, that's not good for a guy like Byron. Byron's going to be a head coach, by the way. I want to say that. He is well thought of in league circles.
He's going from quarterback coach to head coach in Pete Prisco's book. Mark it down.
He's going to be a good – hey, look, he made Blaine look pretty good yesterday, didn't he? Blaine threw some nice passes yesterday.
He did early.
Yeah, that's great. I'm all for it.
Watch out, Jacksonville, this week. That's going to be a tough one for you.
Dominating performance. We're going to win.
Goodbye, Pete.
Homer. You're a homer. He's a homer.
Pete Prisco, Tony Vaselli, Hollywood Max Hockman, Mike Perkins, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening. Oh, Dave DeCandis. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.